A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Ishan Akbar, and welcome to 929, a new podcast from Fiverr.com. Now, normally, a new podcast would have a lot of preamble right from the top, but we are strictly preamble-free, because each episode of 929 is just 9 minutes and 29 seconds long, precisely. So, you're almost certainly stuck indoors right now, and we want to make sure you're as entertained, inspired, motivated as you can be during these tricky times. So here's the deal. Each episode has a different guest imparting words of wisdom on how you can grow your business or improve your side hustle or generally just fulfill your ambitions. They'll give you one key piece of advice based on years of experience, and all you have to do is give them a little less than 10 minutes. Today, you'll hear from Serena...
How do I say your surname? Abbasi or Abbasi?
Either, actually. Abbasi. I say Abbasi. If I'm in Iran, then it's Abbasi.
I'm pretty much the same. I say Ishan when I'm with, well, white people, and then I say Ishan when I'm with everyone else.
Serena Abbasi. She's the worldwide head of culture and inclusion at the advertising agency M&C Saatchi. So naturally, we got talking about rice.
Which rice is better, black rice or Asian rice?
It has to be Asian rice.
Yes, come on! If there's one place I don't want any diversity, it's on my rice. Okay, I want it to be white and fluffy.
But enough about rice. Here's what you need to know from Serena.
Joining me from her lounge, all the way in Bristol, is Serena Abbasi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. This is a very unorthodox way for us to be doing this.
Indeed.
Have you ever recorded something like this from so far away?
Actually, I have, in fact. Yeah, I've done a few podcasts, similar setup. So,
all right, someone's done really well. I get it. So in this podcast, we are discussing kind of big lessons from great experts like yourself. In a line or in a sentence, what's your big lesson?
Okay, so the big lesson is, how do you make sure that you hire the right person and keep the right people? So it's about us kind of unpacking what right is first and foremost.
Okay, so let's just start with that. I mean, straight off the bat, when you say to me someone right, surely it's just someone who can do the job, right?
Yeah, I suppose, absolutely. But I think that can also be very subjective, because people tend to hire in their own image. So, a lot of organizations have an archetype. And for them, that is the right person. That's the person that is culturally right for their organization. But my job is to really get people to broaden the way that they look at what is right.
And so what kind of steps do you take with something like that?
I try to get people to feel rather than think.
Right.
So I try to get people to really be a bit more self-reflective about how they view themselves, how they view others around them, and get them to then critique. That is really, really paramount, I think, to kind of creating organizational change. We just need to be very honest with ourselves. And in order to have a diverse workforce, you know, you're going to be called out on things, because you're going to put your foot in it a lot of the time. I do it all the time. So it's just about people being willing just to maybe be a bit uncomfortable.
So tell me this then. You're obviously passionate about this, and it's important to you that we get the right kind of people in an organization. But why does it help grow a business?
Ultimately, our world is changing. You know, the demographic makeup of the UK is going to look completely different in 10, 15, 20 years' time. So with those changes, organizations need to change too.
Right.
Because ultimately, for instance, within the advertising context, because obviously that's the industry in which I work in, we can't be creating ads for people that aren't represented within our organization. It just doesn't make sense, because there's no authenticity these ads aren't going to speak to those different demographics. And as those demographics enlarge, as, you know, just globalization, the whole world's changing, you know, yeah, organizations naturally have to change as well.
But also, I guess it's to do some sense checking so that you don't do adverts like the coolest monkey in the jungle.
Exactly, exactly that. And secondly, you do create better work by having different types of opinions contributing to a brief. So it's, yeah, it's about being willing to be uncomfortable, but knowing that through that discomfort, you're going to grow ultimately, not just as individuals, but your organization will grow as well. You'll earn more money as a result.
What if, like, you know, I've got some friends, you're welcome. I've got some friends who, and I'll talk to them. And they were like, yo, like, what's MNC Saatchi like? That's like waste, like, what's advertising, bro? Why would I do that? Do you know what I mean? How do you get those people applying to those jobs?
Yeah, it's about just broadening people's networks more than anything. So when a role does become available, they don't just go to the, you know, the typical headhunter that they've always used or the person that they worked in an agency 15 years ago with.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that I definitely have been able to bring to them. I can see that in a very tangible way, where actually I've just broadened their network. I've introduced them to lots of different types of people.
Right. We've talked about diversity, talked about race. One word I hear quite a bit is inclusion.
Yes.
What's the difference? Because surely if you've hired someone from a quote unquote diverse background, they're included, right?
Not necessarily. So for me, inclusion is being in a position of power. So there's this lovely quote, diversity is being invited to the party, inclusion is being asked to dance. So essentially, inclusion is having a seat at the table.
But surely if you're going to invite someone diverse, you can ask them to dance because they can probably can. No? Isn't that how it works?
Right? See, that makes total sense. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work within a business context.
Yeah.
So right also means, and this is something that you see a lot of the time, one might hire someone that is completely different to who they would ever, so completely different to the archetype. Though that person can't survive or thrive in that environment because the environment hasn't done the work to accept them. And I think that is the key thing that most organizations do wrong. They're like, we've got the person in.
Yeah.
We've got some diversity, but the diversity doesn't stay because they don't feel like it's a place that they belong to.
Yeah. So obviously we're living in completely unprecedented times. At a time like this, how can you maintain that diverse culture? Because it doesn't really matter. We're all behind a screen, right?
I think it's about regular check-ins and it's about communication. You know, you can be in an office with someone and you might not be effectively communicating with each other. And I think when you are working remotely, you have to become even better communicators. So yeah. I think that's how you go about it.
What kind of world do you envisage after this? Do you think we're going to see a major sea change in the way we grow our businesses, particularly around diversity and inclusion?
So I'm really hoping that once this is all over, we're all just going to be a bit more empathetic. And with that empathy, that will just naturally produce a greater appetite for diversity and inclusion. But I think when we do get out of this, there are also going to be a lot of businesses that are going to be under huge levels of strain. Mm. Then the question is, how do we make sure that diversity and inclusion is something that is valued? And I really, really hope that people just remember that actually, in order for us to have a business that can withstand all that comes our way, we need to have diversity and inclusion front and center. It needs to be part of your business strategy. It's not just an add-on.
Yeah. This particular situation that we're in, it doesn't care about color, creed, gender, anything like that. It doesn't care about borders. So hopefully the world will be, as you say, a much more empathetic place. And I think that's a very, very good sentiment to end on. Serena, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
Thanks for having me. It's been very funny.
My thanks to Serena Abbasi for giving us her time and to you for yours. 929 is a Fiverr.com podcast. Need help building a corporate culture? You can find business consultants galore on Fiverr.com. Hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll keep sending you miniature moments of advice from leading business brains. For now, time's up.